Okay.
Well, he was a bat 9 months old, and Ferdinand had gone to visit his mother, you know, where she lived. And we came back by and stopped over to Grandpa's. And Papa said, he said, Lou, you better take this baby home because, and take care of him because he has pneumonia. I didn't have any idea, you know, if there's anything wrong with him. And I took him home and had Dr. Reynolds to come out. Dr. Reynolds and Porter were great friends. They could both drink together. And when they got there from the doctor and Porter got back, they were both feeling no pain.
Oh, me. And then you had...
Then I had Lucian was next, and then Alvin Lee. I had four.
All beautiful children, weren't they?
I thought they were, anyway. I just have one picture of Daniel because he was small, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you didn't have codex and things like that. I've got one picture of him. He was a pretty baby, though.
Did he look like Alvin Lee or no, Lucian?
No, see you. And Lee's Johnson.
Yes. But I always thought Alvin Lee looked a lot like Majo, in a way, you know, just a little bit.
Well, I never did think so. Alvin Lee was an awful pretty baby. And when Alvin Lee came, what, doctor, what is that?
Schrader?
No.
Sisler? Reynolds?
Huh?
Reynolds?
No.
Coppage?
No. Oh.
Snorgrass?
No.
Hollis?
Huh?
Wouldn't be Hollis, would it? That was eye, ears, nose.
No, you know, he died not too very long ago.
Coward? Dr. Coward?
Huh?
Wouldn't be Dr. Coward, would it?
Oh, no, he's farther back than that. Oh, you know him well.
Dr. King?
Yes,
Dr. Oh, King. Dr. King.
Yeah, when Alvin Lee was coming, what then? Gas was all excited. He said, well, I'm going to get the doctor. Then Dr. came in, another young intern that was visiting Dr. King. All came back. They got here about 8 o'clock, and that was in August. And it was so cold.
Cold?
Cold. That young doctor sat right there in the kitchen by the kitchen stove all night.
Oh.
And then Alan Lee didn't come until the next morning about 8
o'clock. Oh, my. And you had the baby here at the house then?
Yes. Uh-huh. All of my babies were born at home.
Oh, that's remarkable. Well, you all had to learn to endure, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess we did.
Shoot. Oh, me. Yeah,
those were the early days.
Now, is there anything else that you can think of? And I've kept you long enough. I don't want to keep you any longer. And I'll come back and sometime, and I'm going to have you all speak some Yuchi for me.
Okay. I don't know of anything more.
Is there any advice you'd like to give to your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren that you think they ought to...
That they ought to
yes.
do?
And wisdom from there.
I know. I just always told them to do what was good, not get into any mess of any kind. The only mess that I knew of was Lucian got married awful young. He married, the chief's daughter, the Utah chief's daughter.
Oh.
Her name was Dorothy Jean Brown. And they were both too young to be married, but they did. They didn't stay married.
Now, was Grandmother Conassini at the, that... She was, how was she related to you?
She's Major's mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law. Mm-hmm.
That was Porter's mother.
Oh, I see. Well, now that's the first time I knew that.
And Porter lived way out in the country. I guess he rode to town. But, you know, he was with the Bristol baseball.
Oh, he was an athlete then.
Yes, he, and I've got a picture of him where he and Ralph Corey. And there used to be some Kidwell, didn't they?
Yes, Kidwell.
He had a great big old tall boy. And then there was a Smith. There were some Smiths there. I have a picture of them. Of course, you know, his picture taken with them.
But one day I was reading the newspaper, and it was talking about what a wonderful team the Indians had. They used to, the ball team, the Indians, there were some Indians around here who had a wonderful team. Would that be the same?
No, because Porter was the only Indian.
Was the only Indian on the team? Well, occasionally I read in the I would read in the early Indian Territorial Enterprise, you know, about Indians doing this and that. Now, where was Snake Creek? I read about an uprising on Snake Creek. The Indians told the white people to get out of Bristow.
Well, Snake Creek is run by Bixby.
Oh, by Bixby.
Over there.
But I had read in there that the Indians came to Bristow and issued an ultimatum for the white people to get out of that area and that they were going to come back. And so they fixed some kind of a, I don't know, whatever, but the Indians never did come back. So,
well, I don't know about that.
Well, I just happened to read that in the paper. But I, every once in a while in the paper, as I was going through it in the early days, I'd read about somebody doing something that was really exciting. I thought, oh, God, would like to know more about that.
Really?
But now, listen, we're going to quit for today.
You know where he got his name?
No, he didn't say that.
Well, I know. Slick was Tom Slick. He was a young man from Pennsylvania when he came here. And he walked from Bristow to our house. And sometimes he'd eat with us, meals, you know. And he was taking leases, oil leases. And he had a lease, I guess it's Easter Slick, I don't know how far it is. But that's where Tom Slick first struck his well.
And this was the beginning of the oil boom then?
That was the beginning of the oil boom. Because I think Tom Slick was the first one that ever built, that ever drilled a well in this part of the country.
Now that's interesting to know. That's interesting.
By, you know, eat a meal with us before he...
He didn't have a family then, did he?
No, he wasn't married. He was just a young man, just prospecting is what he was doing. And he struck it rich out there.
That's wonderful.
That's where he got his first start.